Blog Talk Radio.
I don't want to be live. Don't bring me live.
There you are.
What the hell is wrong with you? No,
I
don't
know
not
if you had
live,
the board up
damn
yet.
Damn it. I'm a zombie.
I don't know if you had the board up yet. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I ran in the house. I'd like to say I went to the bathroom to go pee, but, yeah, well, it was while I was running down the hall. So I did pee prior to the show starting. Just so you ladies and gentlemen know, yeah, it's a great night, man. I love my job. I never know what the hell hours I'm going to work, what the hell hours I get to come in, what hours I get to leave. Yeah.
And you own the company.
I do want to say this. I do want to say this. To those of you on 295 southbound around the Richmond, Virginia area, if that big white truck blew past your ass, step it up, man. Move right. Get the hell out the way. You are not in the fast lane for Sunday dinner. It's an observation. I won't say what speed I was running, but that's beside the point.
Oh, I was even going to go more anonymous than that, and the nameless big white truck driver. I wasn't even, but yeah. All right, so if you're in Dennis's way, what are you saying is get the hell out of it? That sum it
well,
up pretty much for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm bigger than most shit on the road. Move your ass, pull to the side, and, you know, do what you're supposed to do. If a big-ass white vehicle is running up on your ass, what should you do? Do not look in the mirror and go, oh, he's coming up on me very rapidly. He must be in a hurry. I should perhaps slow down a few miles an hour. Maybe I can converse with this gentleman and ask him if everything is okay. No. Over. If you're in the fast lane and you are doing 1 mile an hour over the speed limit, you're in the wrong damn lane. If you are in the far right-hand lane, well, let's take a hypothetical. You're in a 70-mile-an-hour speed zone, and you are in the left lane doing 71 mile an hour. What should you do at this point? Turn left, drive to the ditch, and get the hell out of my way. Or turn right and proceed with the rest of the grandmas. Just an observation. I don't want to offend anybody, but
you know what? A lot of the times, I would recommend left for those people.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. The funniest damn video I have ever seen was it was shot from the front seat. You can tell it was from the passenger seat of the vehicle. They're on some unnamed highway. I have no idea. It's like three lanes wide. You can hear the camera operator going, oh, look at this slow speed pursuit over here in the left lane. And the state trooper is right on this dude's ass in the far left lane. And, like, they're not passing anybody. Like, vehicles in the left lane or in the center lane to their right are passing them. And all of a sudden, the state trooper lights up, follows the vehicle all the way over to the right lane, kills his lights and goes back to the left lane so he can proceed on his way. And I am dying laughing. I'm going, oh, my God, I wish I had those lights. Have you ever been in the left lane? Traffic is, let's say you're in a 65-mile-an-hour zone. Traffic is moving at 63 mile an hour, and you're out in the left lane going, I know I'm in the high-speed lane. I know I run the risk of getting a speeding ticket. If I do at 65, maybe I can do that 68, 69, 70 maybe. And you got jackass over here that's doing 64 in the left lane. Haven't you ever wanted to just pit maneuver them? You know, touch that left rear fender just a bit. And let's see if it actually works as well as it looks on cops. Yeah. That would be my commute coming home.
So the officer in the video was behind the car in the left-hand lane, pulled it over to the right-hand lane, and then got back in traffic in the left-hand lane just to get them off the road?
He did.
Yeah, that'd be a sign.
Yeah. I mean, well, the officer, it was actually a state trooper. I did not catch what state it was from, so don't immediately call your state trooper office and go, was that one of yours? And don't worry about it. On those days that you're late for work and that state trooper is out in the far left lane running 5, 7, 8 mile an hour over the speed limit and you're kind of following in his train, yeah, that's the guy you want to stick with. You don't want to call a bitch about him. But following this car for I don't even know how long, out in the left lane, traffic in the middle lane is passing them. And the trooper finally, I guess, just gave up and goes, all right, this jackass is going to do dead on the button or just below. And hit his lights, followed the vehicle across two lanes of traffic to the right-hand lane. Then the trooper turned off his lights and went back out to the left lane and proceeded on his way to keep up with traffic and get where he was going. We've all had those moments where you just wish you could, like, wiggle your nose and go, this son of a bitch needs to get out of my way. But,
which,
yeah.
All right. Oh, also for highway etiquette, with having state trooper friends, and Dennis, I know you do too, they actually do prefer you to pull on the left-hand shoulder if they are going to pull you over, because when they step out of their car, they're not stepping right on the line of 70, 80-mile-an-hour traffic.
Well,
they have a car blocking them.
Well,
go ahead.
Here's the thing on that. They don't prefer, if you're in the right-hand lane, don't pull to the left shoulder. That's not what we're saying, folks.
Yeah.
They like when they catch you out in the, well, what they used to call the green stamp lane. They like when you pull to the left shoulder instead of taking them across three lanes of traffic, because now they have to hold back three lanes of traffic so your dumbass doesn't get hit moving to the right shoulder. They like being on the left shoulder, but use common sense. I realize that today common sense ain't so common. And, you know, think about your life and the trooper's life. When he pulls you over, don't just go, oh, that son of a bitch. Keep in mind, he may have a couple of kids to go home to. But it's much nicer if you have a 3,000-pound car between you and 70, 80-mile-an-hour traffic. Don't automatically jam on the brakes because the trooper hit his lights. That just causes havoc behind him or for him.
Never
ceases to amaze me.
I love some of the videos on YouTube where they have an officer, just a patrol officer has somebody pulled over, and they're just doing a routine traffic stop. And then you get a truck or a car or motorcycle that just flies out of control and basically takes out both vehicles. Not that I actually love seeing that happen, but I love it in the fact of the ones where everybody was okay, like if everybody was out of the car and nobody got hurt, but it just shows you the distraction and the stupidity of motorists nowadays. Dude, can tell you that this season, working in a motorcycle dealership, we have had more motorcycle wrecks due to car interference. And I'm not saying that all the bikers were the best riders and that they didn't do anything wrong either. But I've been seeing more motor vehicle accidents come through my shop this year, doubled from last year, because of stupid shit.
The trouble is, they look down the road and they look for one headlight. Oh, wait, no, they don't. I'm sorry. If you have a motor vehicle, a car, with two headlights, and one of them is out, you are just as susceptible to some jackwagon pulling out in front of you as a motorcycle rider. Here's the big difference. When that vehicle comes at you that you pull out in front of, and he only has one headlight, he still has a steel cage around him Guess what that motorcycle has around him?
Air?
Hopefully a band of angels, because he's going to need them.
Yeah, it's really nothing but space and opportunity with a lot of holy shit, God help me involved. I've been there twice. Are you looking at the same thing I'm looking at right now? Dennis?
Yes?
Where the hell did you go?
I don't know. Mars. I have a caller on the board, and I'm not sure who it is. And I'm going to bring him in just out of shits and giggles, out of the blind. So here we go. Caller, you are live on Full Spectrum Radio.
Hey, guys.
Oh, never mind.
What's
Howard.
What's going on,
shit.
Guys?
Where's the mute button? Shit.
Yeah.
Howard, hang on. Where's the mute button? Son of a bitch, it ain't working.
You know what? That's
Howard, how you doing, my brother? Oh, holy hell.
What?
Did we just have a car crash live on air? All right, who's in the car?
Yep. I decided to drop in on you guys. I'm up at work, so I was like, well, let me pop in and listen. So I knew as you said you had a caller. I was like, oh, you're going to do it to me.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the underside of the bus on Full Spectrum Radio. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this would be Howard O'Dell with All Seeing Paranormal.
I was going to say, Howard might be getting used to seeing the underside of the bus just like you and I are.
Yeah, it's not the first time, and I don't mind it. Got to enjoy it now.
I don't
to be
mind
honest,
it seems the oil's kind of hot. I hate when it drips on, well, never mind, I won't say where it drips.
Yeah. Speaking of buses, that's what I'm working on right now.
Wait, say that again.
Said, speaking of buses, that's what I'm working on right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm literally up at the shop over here, so I can't say the name over the air, but yeah, I'm literally, like I said, I was just popping on to listen to you guys. I haven't heard talk to y'all for a while, so I was like, jump it on.
All right, well, Howard, now I am going to throw you on the spot, my brother.
Okay.
Tell us about the new Facebook page and the new group that you are working on that I think right now we have, what, 7, 8 different paranormal groups are part of?
Oh, yeah. We're actually – good point, Dennis. Thank you. It is the Virginia Paranormal Assembly. It's a combination of multi-groups around Virginia. We're banning to create unity throughout the groups that we've got. This site is going to unite all the groups, let's communicate better, be able to communicate our thoughts, our theories, and help those groups that are coming in town to another group. So, for instance, if CPR is going down to Charlottesville, they can connect with a closer group down there. If they're, say, need cables or missing some video cable, etc., we can make use that site as a contact and make contact with those groups so they can say yay or nay, I can help you or I can't help you, let me get it out to you real quick, so we keep our investigations going on smoothly and adding support throughout Virginia.
So let's say that CPR East is going to do an investigation and I'm running a man or two short with, you know, shift work or illness or whatever. Can I go to the web page and see if anybody else is available?
Absolutely. That's another good point, Dennis. Thank you. The other point of the group is if one team is short one, two, or three members, we can reach out in that community on that page and, you know, let them know, hey, we're looking for a couple members. Anybody interested in getting this investigation, we're shorthanded. And any of those members in that society can go, hey, you need some help? I can be there an hour. I can be there in 30 minutes, be there in 15 minutes. You know, it's just adding that more of a linkage between the groups, which I'm really excited about that too. This has been my brainchild for like 5 years. So I was like, about 3 months ago, I really kicked in, and then you and I, Dennis, started talking about it, and you just gave me more motivation to do it. So, you know, I'm really excited about what the future holds for Virginia and the paranormal societies.
Hey, don't blame me. Don't blame me.
Hey, I just said you're a fuel.
I mean, you made the one post a while back that, you know, thanks, Dennis, for the push to actually help me do this. I didn't really have to push you, brother. I think it was more just a little flick going, dude, I think it's right. I think it's time. I think it's called for, and I love what you're doing with it.
Absolutely.
How many teams right now do we have on that Facebook that are willing to cooperate with each other?
Right. At the present time, I want to say I do believe we have 12 teams with about 7 to 8 other teams on the outside. Once we open the doors fully to all the teams of Virginia, we'll be fully up and working. And I'm looking towards Sunday night of actually opening that door.
Yeah.
And
well,
right now,
what? Just real quick,
ahead,
one question about that, though, is
yeah, man.
And, I mean, it's a phenomenal idea, and I think that there should be somebody to take the reins in different cities and different regions throughout the country and actually have the same outlet and facilities that you've created. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal idea. The one question I do have, and this is going to sound like I'm being a fucking Debbie Downer here, but that's not the point. I mean, do you actually do like a screening to say, yeah, okay, cool, we're going to let you be part of this, almost like a, and I've used this reference before, like a paranormal Angie's list where you check them out, and if somebody's short recorders or somebody's short, you know, a 200-foot roll of cable, that they can come grab it from you and use it, and there's the trust they're going to bring it back.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Well, right now, the teams that are involved are all trusted link teams. We've all been together for at least a year, so we all know each other pretty tight. And if there's any new groups that do come into VPA, the entire group has to say, yeah, I think it's a good group, or let's give them some time and see what happens before we say, yeah, they can be a part. Not trying to home them out, but it's not only us that we need to worry about. It's the client and or the historical society. So if we're on site and we got somebody new, we don't know what they could do. So we have to be careful. So it comes through, yeah, I would say it's a trusting thing, but it's also a knowing thing. So we have to trust the people that we bring into that group. And bringing them in as a new group, possibly. I know there's two new groups here in Virginia that started up about 6 months ago. I would be kind of questionable, okay, work with us, talk to us a bit more before anything happens. And so that's where that comes in. It is a trust play, and you got to be able to trust those people that you're working with. And like I said, right now, we're pretty good. We got a tight-knit group that pretty much everybody either knows one person or another. So you can go to somebody that might know that person and say, hey, is this person trustworthy? Do I have anything to worry about? And they're like, no, Howie, go with him. He's a great investigator. He knows his stuff. He knows EVPs. He knows how to do proper pictures. He knows how to camera system. I think he's a great idea. And then I'm like, all right, hey, would you like to, you know, roll with us or blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from, Matt. But right now, we're tight-knit. I'm happy with that. And we got good people working with us right now.
Yeah, it definitely is a phenomenal idea, and if at which I'm sure, and it's not just a simplicity thing. It's a lot of time and dedication, and also putting your own ass on the line. So I'm definitely love the idea, man. I mean, if you should copyright it, and if that's even possible, and see if it could be something that you could manage to go national.
Yeah, well, that's our idea. This is the first step. We already have the Jersey groups wanting to get in. Once we get comfortable with the way we have this set, New Jersey has about 3 or 4 groups and 1 trusted group on our behalf that are willing to want to put something like this together, and that's going to start the link. And my idea and what I've seen is kind of like a matrix. It's going to spread state to state, state to state, state to state. And if we have a national thing, eventually we can have 1 representative from that state and maybe go to an annual, you know, convention where those people get together and speak on the behalf of the state and just communicate about things we've encountered and seen, take up evidence, remembering that it's not only spiritual, but it's scientific. And what it's going to do, and this is my vision, not only, again, as I said it before, not as it's spiritual, but we're also trying to bring this to the scientific forefront. And if we don't do it right, we're going to look like monkeys. But if we do it right, and we have great amount of people and support, and there's more and more people, they can't deny what we're doing. I mean, there's going to be many people that are always going to do it. You guys, you know that. But the more we stand together, the stronger we stand together, the more in our beliefs and our evidence and our equipment, and we can prove what we're seeing, that's just going to make the foundation of what we're going to do and what we're doing stronger and stronger, month by month, by year by year.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. Hey, if you ever get to the point where you want I won't go to Illinois, but Chicago chapter, just let me know and I'm on it.
You know I will, Matt. You will be on the list. Once we get this whole organization built and founded, we'll get you in. We'll let you know, and I'm sure Dennis will touch base with you.
Well, you got my info. You can touch base with me, too.
Amen.
I might touch base with him, Howard. I'm not really sure.
Maybe.
But I will say this. Howard, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it January 10th or January 11th that we have right now no less than 5 teams are meeting in Henricus Park for a very... Say again?
It is now 6 teams. That's correct. We're verging on Henricus for a gathering, or a gallo, however you would like to say it. And hopefully in May we'll also be having a paranormal homecoming for those in the Virginia area that can make it as well down in Natural Bridge.
So I will say this unequivocally, and if anybody has the balls to argue it with me, feel free to call in 323-580-5703. But I will say unequivocally, Virginia is leading the paranormal call. That I don't even want to do like we're leading the paranormal call. This is where all the teams come together. This is where we make shit happen all at once, and we do it all together. So para-unity is definitely starting right here in Virginia. And Howard, I got to give you kudos, man. You were leading this damn frontier.
I appreciate that, Dennis. I really do. It's been a long dream, and I just want to make it happen, and I think it's be beneficial for all of us. And if we can show that one step of what we're doing now, wait to see what the other states do when we all come together as one big community. Then what's the rest going to say? That's my vision.
Well, I do have to say this. I have Connecticut that wants me to call them right now and bring them in. Michael Carroll with, and son of a bitch, I really suck at names. But I do. I truly do. But he is with, let me get my shit together here. Matt, help me out. Where you at, man?
Matt. I'm here. I'm just listening. You were on a rant, and then you just threw something out there.
Yeah, well, that's because I suck. New England spiritual. Yeah, New England spiritual
Neff.
Team.
Neff.
Yeah, Neff.
I knew it
coming
to me.
Everybody knows Neff. Yeah. Great job, Matt. Thank you, bud.
You're welcome. I got you.
But I do have Michael that wants to join us, but I have to call him, so I'm going to try to hit the board and see if I can figure this shit out. Ladies and gentlemen, if I fuck this up, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot we're on Wednesday night, not Monday night unleashed.
Yes, sir.
Which, by the way, catch us Monday nights on the same place, same channel with Full Spectrum Unleashed. But I'm going to try to figure out now how to call Michael, and we will bring him in. But
all right. Click the call button next to the magnifying glass, and then enter the number.
Keep it up, asshole. You do realize I have a buttload of friends. Do you hear that ringing?
Yeah.
Do you hear that ringing, Matt?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's my posse coming.
Hello?
I got Howard on my posse. Michael, what's up, brother? It's Dennis on Full Spectrum Radio, and I got Matt with me, and I got Howard with me. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing quite all right. How are you?
I'm doing phenomenal. Hey, do me a favor.
Yes.
Just one real quick.
Sure.
One real quick throw out there, Matt. I got Dennis's back.
All right.
Throw it out there.
Oh, I got Dennis's back. Is that what you want me to say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute, I'm missing something here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the fireball I just had or if it's Dennis that I'm talking to that's got me all bumbled up.
No. He was trying to throw a stab at me.
I was trying to throw a stab at Matt, but hey, Michael, thanks for joining us. We were just in the middle of talking about, Michael, do me a favor. Say hi to Howard. Howard, say hi to Michael.
Hello, Howard.
Good evening, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing better now that we're talking to Dennis, Howard, and the rest of the Muppet gang. And there's Lisa in the background.
Hi, Lisa.
They all say hi.
Oh, what a motley crew. What a motley
crew. Oh, you have no idea, all right?
Oh, no, I do have an idea because I spent a couple hours with you on a parking lot in Connecticut. Remember?
Yeah, Dennis, how's those wings doing? Yeah, those wings were phenomenal, right?
Dude, I'm telling you, my butt hit me for days.
Hey, Dennis, whatever happened in that parking lot stays in that parking lot, remember?
I don't know a damn
thing. What Cuddle Buddies, remember that, Dennis?
I don't know a damn thing.
That's exactly what you're supposed to say.
It's just a spare tire.
I am glad, though, that there is heat in the back of the ambulance.
Yes, well, I don't know what to say to that, Dennis. You left me speechless again.
We wouldn't have made our own heat, Big Daddy. Friction makes heat.
Oh, Jesus.
So, hey, speaking of that, everybody, on one note, I do have to say, and I hope that everybody is not experiencing too bad of weather, and you guys made it through okay. I know there was some bad storms that went through pretty much everybody. Right now, let me pull this up and do a little refresh. Yeah, it's 3 degrees here right now, actual temperature without the wind chill. So, hope family and friends and everybody's all right. I know ice storms hit you guys and all that. So, hope everybody made it okay.
All right, go ahead, Michael. I know you got to chime in on that.
Yeah. Everyone made it all right. I mean, we're here in Blue Diamond, Nevada, and it's about, today it got to about 50, 55 degrees, so that was pretty nice. But, yeah, it was cold when we got here, so that kind of stunk. But other than that, we got here just fine.
Oh, well, I was talking more of the Connecticut where you got hit, not...
Oh, we weren't. Yeah, we left right as that was rolling in. We said, heck with those people. Leave them up there to deal with it, you know. And then, actually, we're leaving tomorrow, late tomorrow night. And on the way back, we're actually following another nor'easter that's heading up there. So we're going to miss it, although we're going to see the tail end of it. So they can deal with it as it comes, and then they're going to deal with us as we get up there.
Yeah,
better than us.
I meant to tell you, Matt, Michael and Lisa are out in Nevada. I don't think worried about the snow and all that other bullshit.
No, there ain't no snow. It was actually weird. Flying here, we saw tons of snow the whole way through. I mean, even in Chicago, we were there for like an hour or two. There was tons of snow. And then as soon as we hit the mountains to cross into, like, Las Vegas, there was nothing. So it was nice.
That's why people move there and they're smart.
Well, I don't know about smart. I can see why they move here, but definitely not the smart aspect.
Now, Michael, what we had Howard on for, and Howard, are you still with us? Howard.
Uh-oh, I think he abandoned us.
Uh-oh. Howard.
I'm here, guys. I just had to put you on mute. I'm actually part of them.
Oh, okay. Michael, what we had Howard on for, here in Virginia, Howard has started the Virginia Paranormal Society webpage. Well, Facebook, and we will be doing it through a webpage. It is a para-unity. Like, if I have a team that needs a member, if I have an investigation that needs extra cameras or anything, we're all going to pull together here and make sure our shit is right. What's your opinion,
right,
brother? What's your opinion on it?
What's my opinion on it? I'm doing like a Paris Unity page, so to say.
Yeah, we're hoping that we can, like, Howard and I have kind of worked together, and
yep.
I mean, Howard is definitely the spearhead on this. So I will definitely take a back seat on it.
If it's based on Paris Unity, I'm all for it. The problem is you get a lot of, all right, I'm going to be off the cuff here. I'm going to be off the script because there's no script, but I'm going to be who I am, and Dennis, you appreciate it because you've met me in person. You know how I am. I'm for Terra Unity. What I'm not for is all these naysayers and frankly, dumbasses out there trying to put everything down to better themselves or to try to make themselves look better. Dennis, I've met you in person. Matt, I would long to meet in person. Same with that young Howard friend of yours. You know, and I give everyone a fair chance, you know, just like everything else. You know, and so it's up to them, whoever I work with, to keep that.
And so if they do a great job and they're really respectful and they're, like, you know, what they should be morally, then I'm going to say, yeah, you know, carry unity all the way. Let's work together. That's all it's about. It's not, you know, all these people are like, well, carry unity. It's agreeing on everything, and it's stroking this person's ego and scratching this one's back. No, it's about bringing different things to the field, different topics. You know, being a married couple, you're disagreeing all the time just to make yourselves better. You know, it's, yeah, doing what's right, like Lisa said, you know, not standing there, you know, everything is the paranormal, everything is this, everything is that, and being, you know, biased and completely wrong. I mean, agree to disagree. That's what unity is. So if you start a page based on that, you know you're going to get slammed right off the bat, because the people that are against it are the people that are outed and shouldn't even be in the field because they have no shred of clue what they're doing. And if I just went on a wild tangent, more is yet to come, as you know, Dennis.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, when everybody wants to kiss everybody's ass, all hell breaks loose.
Hey, I'm sitting 40 feet from a zoo, and if we had monkeys over in this zoo right now, and life is imitating the monkeys right there, scratching each other's backs, picking the bugs out of each other's hair to make each other happy. That's pretty much what the dumbasses of the paranormal field are doing. You know, we're the good people, the one percenters. We're going to use real world politics on the paranormal. The one percenters who actually care about it, who actually give a damn, who actually, you know, try to help people and not help themselves to, you know, everything else, those are the people that pair unity for. Everyone else, personally, they're against it because they're afraid of it. That's all it is. When there's something good in the world, people are afraid of it, and they turn to causing problems to hide their, you know, insecurities and to hide their fears. That's all it is.
Yeah, and what do you think, Matt? I'm going to throw it on you, Matt, because I got to go pee. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were taking the reins. I was responding to a text message, so I heard what Michael was talking about. I didn't hear what your response was, because you've been quiet all damn night for some reason.
I've been quiet? Oh, my God, I've never been
quiet. You've been quiet volume-wise, not...
He's very boisterous, especially when he has a few drinks in him, you know?
Good Lord, Michael, what the hell are you using for a microphone, dude? Like,
I'm using my cell phone.
That he has duct tape to his larynx, but we're not going to...
Apparently. Michael, do me a favor, brother.
Yep.
Either pull the microphone. What the hell phone do you have? Because that's the loudest son of a bitch I think I've ever heard.
He's fine. Turn your volume down. Go pee. I got this.
Well, no, then I won't hear you. And, well, yeah, I'm going to go pee.
So,
Howard.
No, you know,
Howard, where is Howard? Have we lost Howard?
He's at the parts
Howard?
Counter right now.
Well, I'm here. I'm just bouncing between work orders, so I'm trying to talk with y'all and do that at the same time. Let me explain again the idea and the premise behind this was unity and communication between all the groups in Virginia to be able to help each team that's out there with yet equipment or with individuals and to get a common goal and just support each other in the field. And my vision is more like a quantum physics of line distribution, where we connect line to line.
Yeah.
Hello?
So, yeah, I'm here. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'm here. I'm peeing, but I'm here.
Oh, come on.
But
dude,
are you really here?
No, he's not. Yes, he is.
How it's saying, I completely support and agree with. It's about bringing the different ideas and the different tactics and bringing it all together. You know, that's great. You know, the problem is you are going to get people who are going to downplay it, you know, and are going to bash against it because, A, they have nothing better else to do, and, B, it just scares them because, you know, every time there's something good in the world, someone's got to trash upon it and just to try to better themselves, that's all.
Well, and it's the same.
So as long as Howard realizes that, he's going to be perfect. You know, he'll be great in it, and he'll do well. If you go in thinking, you know, that, you know, no one, everyone's going to support it and this and that, you're going to be sorely disappointed, you know, as the world will show you.
Yeah, I totally agree. No, I've been experienced, and I'm ready for that. I knew that was going to happen. I know that's going to happen. And I've talked to the team directors. They are aware of what's going to could take place with it. And I just made sure that as long as we're all supporting each other, it really doesn't matter what these other people say. And we do know that there's groups here in Virginia that like to speak negatively about those positive groups. They mean no effect. That's their choice. That's just words. Well, prove
yeah,
by
well,
action.
Words are just words, and they're solidly just that. But the problem is that it's going to, if it's something that it's your life's passion, so to say, if it's something that you put your blood, sweat, tears in, your dedication,
and it's there to help people,
you're really going to take a hit, you know, personally, emotionally, because you're so dedicated, you're so passionate to it. And for someone to downplay it like that, it's really going to piss you off, and it's really going to hurt you psychologically. I know this from experience, having it happen to myself before. And, you know, all these people say, well, just ignore it, it'll go away, and, you know, just this. And it doesn't just go away, it stays with you. It's kind of like a stigma. Once it's there, people just never really know, you know, truth from anything else until you actually do something. Then those actions are going to show other people, hey, this guy actually knows his stuff, and those other people knew donkey shit, you know?
Well, I will say this. Without, and at this point I will jump in. Howard knows I have his back 110%. I will throw the full power of CPR East behind Howard and what he is trying to do. Michael, just like you
yep.
know that I've got your back 110%, we will.
You've also been on my back 110%, if you know what I mean.
Hey, I don't even want to hear that.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Lisa.
What did you do?
Lisa,
it wasn't
will,
me. It seems it's you and Michael that built something.
Lisa, I will push you aside and be on Michael's back 110%.
Just
so you know, he's skinny. I can cover that and wrap around a little bit. But I've got Howard's back, I've got Michael's back, and I know Michael has my back, and I know Howard has my back. And that's what this is supposed to be about, is we cover each other's ass, and we make sure
yep.
that those that are doing the right thing get support, and those that are doing the wrong thing get learned and trained in how to do the right thing.
But, you know, the people that are doing the wrong, you know, it's human nature to learn from your mistakes, but the problem is the people that are doing wrong, a lot of them don't want to learn. They just want to continue bashing and bashing and bashing because they think it makes themselves either A, look good, or B, it makes them feel better about themselves, you know. If they can't be a part of something, you know, true and honest, they jump all over it. So, I mean, most people aren't going to learn. They're just going to keep on doing it. And again, this is from experience, you know.
And like we found out today, there's many dishonest groups in the field, and it's just disheartening, and it sickens us.
And you would think morals and common sense play a factor, but the problem is common sense in the modern day and age isn't that common anymore.
Wow, that's the second time that's been referenced verbatim. We were talking about driving,
same,
and it was the same thing.
in this same exact show.
It's
insane, so common. But Michael, I do have to tell you, your voice changed a lot there. Did your balls fall out of your undies or what? You sounded very feminine there.
Whatever happens in the motel room stays in the motel room, Dennis. You should know that by now, Big Hon.
His better half was speaking for him.
More like my lower half.
To be perfectly honest, in all of this whole conversation, the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter what field it is, whether it's microbiology or paranormal or scientific research or anything like that, there's always going to be some sort of bad egg that's out there, or quote unquote, if you want to call it that. But
yeah,
I fully support what Howard's trying to create, and the ones who are willing to step up and say, you know what, I'm willing to work, I'm willing to open my mind, I'm willing to accept any sort of ideas that a group, not just an individual group, a group of peers will support and honor and actually take into heart. And the ones that stay outside and want to talk shit and want to do whatever, fine, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're from.
It's going to happen. I'll agree, it's going to happen, but... And I support Howard 110% as well. The thing with the different fields, though, at least there's education out there where those people are willing to be educated to learn, because if they weren't, they wouldn't be in the field. Whereas our field, so to say, it should still be about education. It's all perception, theory, assumptions. But even still, we're not going to know all the answers. But we're going to educate ourselves each and every time we go out to try to, you know, okay, maybe this is a better way or this. It's just understanding and expanding your mind. And we're not talking about drugs here. We're talking about wholesome expanding your mind. But the people that are in this field don't want to learn, not all of them, the worst part, they don't want to learn, yet they stay in the field. Whereas the different fields, they're willing to learn to stay in.
And the ones that are not willing to learn, they're teaching and they're charging and they're basically ripping people off, and it's just unacceptable.
Well, and those are the ones that, you know, and that's why, and I know you guys weren't a part of the show or in this part of the show when I asked Howard about that, and There is a screening process. There is a hazing process. It's not just let everybody in and, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's being structured very, very well, in my opinion. And it's, you know, Howard's doing a great thing and not just saying, hey, I'm going to, you know, who wants to join and trusting. He's doing a local test market and then expanding it from there. And if he can create, and like I said, there's always going to be the shit talkers. They're always going to be out there. And that was my point of, it doesn't matter what field it is. There's always going to be somebody out there who has alternative opinion that they stand behind and they won't falter from. It's human nature, and that's the way.
If there's alternative thinking, that's fine, because that's pretty much either a constructive criticism or it's just flat-out criticism that someone can use no matter what to try to better, you know, their work and their research and to, you know, not that they have to prove, but they can go out and prove, hey, you know, this is what it is, you know, or this is, you know, a new way of thinking or, you know, something like that. That's great. You know, I'm all for people having an alternative mindset. What I'm against is people not having an internal mindset, just out there trashing other people to better their own sake or to, you know, make themselves seem like the paranormal paparazzi. And I'm not talking about the horrible show. I'm talking about the horrible people that claim to pull the tab, you know.
Dennis, you caught that one too?
I did. I mean, Scott's probably sitting back going, oh, those motherfuckers, I'm going to call them. Scott, if you have a problem, brother, Scott, call me. I got your back, brother.
Scott Grunwald, who was on that show, is one of our very, very close friends. And so
did we just piss someone off?
Go ahead, Dennis.
Howard, are you with us or are you with a client? Damn.
That sounds good.
And this is
that's two things.
And this is why I hate when they have to call in while they're dealing with work. I got hiccups.
There he is. I heard a faint EVP in the background. I think it was Howard's voice.
Me in the corner. Don't leave me. Oh, wait. Now, Howard, let me ask you this.
Yeah, boss.
We had four-team overnighted in Rikers. How well did the four teams get along?
Oh, exceptional. They're exceptionally, it's amazing how well everybody does get along. So I'm really looking forward to that. And the other thing is that the other smaller teams that are coming up throughout the network are being trained by trusted teams in Virginia, and they're coming for it. I'm really excited and very happy, to use the mind word, about what's about to take place and how many teams are out there mentoring these younger teams, and that's what I was looking for, and that's what I was hoping. I'm so proud of that.
Yeah, I mean, I got to throw you kudos, man. What you started, I want to see become a national, state-by-state, just ass-kicking network. Now, I'm going to throw one fly in the trap, so to speak. When a team comes up that thinks that they are just going to do half a dozen home investigations. Sorry, folks, I got the hiccups. I can't stop them. When a team comes up to think that they're going to do just a half a dozen home investigations and all of a sudden they get a cheap TV show and they're going to be all this and all that, Howard, what's your opinion on that?
Oh, there's no way in hell. There's no way. Well, what we do right now, are you still with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the warehouse, so my phone will cut out on it, so I'm hoping not. From start to finish, you just can't get out there, and you just can't become a group and not know anything. I mean, a lot of these new groups know that. That's why they're mentoring by older groups. And if you think what we do is what's on TV, not at all. You're getting a quarter, not even a third, a quarter of what actually takes place. There's a lot of time, a lot of studying, a lot of understanding, and that's both emotionally, kind of like what Mike said. I mean, it's both emotional and, there's a lot of scholastics that goes with it too. So, no, it is not at all what you see on TV. Not at all.
You got to remember, TV should come with a disclaimer, A, don't attempt this at home, and B, for entertainment purposes only. I mean, we know many producers in the field, and we've had opportunities to work with this person and that person for TV shows, and we just turned them down. But that's all it's for. When they film an 8-hour or 10-hour investigation or a lock-in or whatever it is, it's all about scaring people. We're actually getting ready to film a show tomorrow. It's not a paranormal, but and it's not scripted. But you've got to remember, and we came into it saying we're not going to script, we're not going to, and we didn't script, but we had to come over and say things over and over to get it right. Not that it's scripted, but you have to get it right for the camera. Same thing applies with the paranormal. You got to get it right. You got to scare people. No one's going to sit there and watch a show where nothing happens. Someone always wants something to happen, which means you have to go and seek something in order for it to happen. So if you watch TV, I'll guarantee 99% of the time, if you watch TV, you said a quarter, Howard. I actually think it's down around 5% or lower percent of what you actually see on TV is what you do in the field.
Well, I mean, not only that, but you have these locations that they go to, and they don't even give you half of what they see, half of what the history is. And all you're doing is going around and scaring people on the TV, basically. You're not giving them the history, the full history of the location.
Well, I'll step in real quick and comment on that. And Dennis, I know for 100,000% that you have my back on this. When anybody that you see that's on a TV show does not have any artist control, except for the only exception in that is Ghost Adventures, because they produce their own show. But
can I disagree with you on that?
If you'd like.
Out of all due respect, and I don't mean to overtake your show, I don't mean to disrespect you or by disagreeing, if we're to call it unity here, creative disagreements, we're actually at a location right now, right this second, here in Blue Diamond, Nevada, where Ghost Adventures has stayed before, has done investigations for their show before. And a lot of the information that we now know of after being here for several days, either A, was inaccurate on their show, or B, just never even made their show. And again, it's all they care about is scaring people. And now this one location within this location is such hyped up, and they actually closed it to the public. You're not allowed to see it unless you pay for one of these ghost tours. And when it comes to something like that, it's complete ridiculous, and it's just absolutely just the worst thing ever. Because
none of the money is going to this location.
None of the money goes to the place, but when they film stuff online, and I know of other clients Ghost Adventures has been to, the production company, they dramatize it. They make it so much more than what it is. They really play up the story where there may not be that big of a story, and they'll play it up just to get that audience participation in viewing it and watching it and doing a live Twitter feed. And we've seen it time and time again. So I think there is the only exception to the rule of artists creativity is if you are strong enough as the person behind the show, whether it's the cast, the crew, whatever it is, and you say, here's my foot, I'm stomping it down, you don't like the way I want to run this show, then we're not going to have a show. And if that means they go get John Joe Flunky somewhere to play the Muppet part and try to scare people, well, they're going to try that. But if you stay true to your morals, you'll be so much more successful than actually sitting there and doing what the man tells you to do. And if it means you don't get a show, then so be it.
Oh, come on, man. That's why you shouldn't let me finish.
I'm sorry.
On Ghost Adventures, Zach is a executive producer. And this is why I use this as an example. He is a executive producer on the show along with Billy Tolley, or Tolley, or whatever it is. DJ Inferno is actually who he is out of Vegas. That both of them, they've both written a few different books that have to do with paranormal. If you read their books versus watching their show, it's totally different. They understand
right.
They understand what the public wants to see, and why they're so big is because that's what they do. They create dramatic effects. They put in a certain amount of XYZ, whatever, and they have to stick to a certain portion to be popular. I mean, if I were to go to, like, the Drake Hotel downtown Chicago, which they've had a I think 24 claims over the past like decade of activity going on. I had a whole fucking film crew behind me, and I got nothing. Do you think I'm going to air that? No. Do you think I'm going to make something able to be aired to keep my contract and keep my paycheck? Yeah. But when it comes down to certain teams, like, you know, Ghost Adventures is able to do that also. But when you get a new show like Killer Contact with Austin Cook and you know, everybody involved with that, they don't have artist control. Same thing with our Dennis and my dear, dear friends like Helmy Kramer, Jordan Murphy, Daniel Hoven, Chelsea Damali, like, who were on Haunted Encounters face-to-face on bio. They had no artist control whatsoever. They were owned by the production company.
Right. They were, people that have no control, were they contacted by a production company to say, hey, we're looking for people to start a show, would you be interested, or would you like to audition for this show?
That's what 90% of these shows are, except for the two
now,
shows,
what if,
which is Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventurers. The other ones are besides Paranormal State. I will back up Brian Beal on that. Paranormal State was his own.
Now, you know about Paranormal State in their background, correct?
Yeah.
You know they were all drama majors, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when it comes to someone being a drama major, they know how to act. They know how to perform for a camera. So their intentions may be real, and they might be right, but if you have someone, much like celebrity ghost stories, you have celebrities telling stories, but these are actors and actresses. They know how to perform. They know how to pull emotion out of themselves for a character. So who's to say the same with Ryan Buell and his crew, that they don't pull the character out to try to, you know, better the show and get the audience participating by watching, because they're drama majors. You know, so right there it's questionable, and everything to me that they do is questionable.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. But when the end of the day comes down at the sunset, it's the production company that airs what they want to air, and every single person who's on the show doesn't have any artist control to say, this is what I want you to air. It's the production company that decides it, and from the people that Dennis and I have talked to on the show, off the show, all that stuff, 90% of them, or I'm sorry, I'll even up that, 97% of them don't see the episode until you and I are watching it in our living room when they're live tweeting with everybody.
Right. That whole life tweeting is absolute garbage, too, because that's only stroke my ego, please. Stroke my ego, you know?
Well, it also gives them a connection to the audience that's watching it as it occurs. But I will agree that probably 97% of the people that we've talked to that have shows, they don't know what the hell is going to air until they actually sit and watch it with us, general populace.
No, Dennis.
They were the ones on the back side of the camera.
Dennis, let's say you have this phenomenal idea for a show. You and Matt are going to be on, and you guys are just, you know, you're true to the field. You're running away with it. You're having a great time. You know, I'm going to pose the question to you guys and to Howard as well, if he's still there. Because I know you're true, but let's say in general, hypothetically speaking, if you're so true to the field, and I'm putting this question to those people out there, those 97 percenters, if they're so true and they really enjoy doing what they do and they're really honest and trying to find the answers and assumptions, why don't they say, I want to view what's going on in the air? Why don't they step up and say, listen, I want to have some sort of say? Why do they let the man hold them down and say, no, you get no say until we tell you
what we're doing. And by then, it's too late. Why don't they step up and say, this is the way we want it done, and if not, we're just out of here because you don't have a show without us.
Agreed. I totally agree, Mike. Mike is right on target.
We have had this conversation, and when we spoke with the Kling brothers, Brad and Barry, that was the whole reason why you no longer see their show, Ghost Lab, broadcast. They told them that, you know, you're putting out there the dumb parts, but you're not showing the educational parts. We don't want to be part of the dumb parts. We want to...
I have something to say about that because, you know, I've talked to people.
Parts.
I've talked to people, everyday people, about the paranormal and about the historical side of the paranormal and about the research. And when they would want to see a show about that. And 99% of the time, I get a yes.
Well, Brad and Barry Kling, when they put their show out there, Ghost Lab, they wanted nothing but this is what it is. It's a shitload of time sitting with a thumb shoved up your ass waiting for something to happen. We walk around with a light. Why? Because when we get a claim, it's not always in the dark. There's no sense in us walking around in the dark. We can't see a damn thing. We're going to walk into everything. So we walk around with a light.
Hey, you know what? I've got full-bodied apparition pictures in the daytime, so I agree with you.
Well, that's where I'm giving huge kudos to Brad and Barry Kling. The only reason that most programs are shot solely at night is because you have less outside noise interference, you have less shadow possibility, you have fewer cars on the roads for their headlights to shine in the windows. But the trouble is...
You want to know what the biggest reason why they shoot at night?
No matter what, it all boils down to the production company says, we are paying you to do this, and we are airing what we want. And that's all there is to it. When I spent 2 hours up in Pennsylvania with the crew from Ghost Hunters, and I sat with Steve and Dave, and I sat with,
Grant Wilson, Bruce Tango.
Grant Wilson. I sat with all of them, and so did Matt. And they are paid to go do these investigations. All expenses are covered, and they run them to death. But their goal was to get out there what there truly is. There is an afterlife. There is the spiritual world that most people don't have any interaction. Now, if I capture a full-bodied apparition on camera and I see it and I don't respond to it because I just kind of stand there and go, what the fuck? Well, odds are good that's not going to get aired, even though it's the holy grail of what we do. Why is it not going to get aired?
Because
I didn't go, oh my God, holy shit, did you see
exactly
that?
But it's also not going to be aired because the people, just like you were saying, the different elements of the production, they shoot at night because, A, it scares 10 and 15-year-olds on the edge of their seat. It makes them wet their pants sometimes. And, B, exactly back to your point with the full-body apparition. Honestly, if I see a full-body apparition, I'm going to do the same thing as you, and I'm going to jump in your arms, that is, and cry. But why do they have to show people holding cameras, a.k.a. Blair Witch Project, and You turn the head, yet the camera stays the same. I mean, to me, all it is a scare tactic to try to get your audience scared. That's not a paranormal occurrence or anything paranormal related. All that is, oh my God, I'm going to try to scare someone by looking away really sharp and snapping my neck, which personally I wish some of them would do when they do it.
But you know what? You can also take 100 freaking photos on a paranormal investigation and not see anything until you review those photos, and holy shit, there's an apparition on your photo.
Yeah, but I will tell you, the first time that I saw a full-bodied apparition 5 feet away from me, no bullshit, absolutely, I know what I saw. It was a full-bodied apparition. It was a man dressed in the 40s, 50s era, and he was 5 feet away from me, and I was doing a remodel in an insane asylum. Actually, the first federal government insane asylum. My first thought was dead still. I stopped. I looked. I spent 30 seconds going, what the fuck? And then I bolted to get behind him. Most people would have bolted the other way. I bolted towards him. But if you don't get that what the fuck was that? On camera? It's useless. You don't get that full-bodied apparition on camera, and you don't get to see it broadcast. Why? Because it didn't make the participant, the investigator, the TV personality go, what the fuck was that? Holy crap, did you see that? Oh, my God, I got to go chase that. Well, that instills excitement. But if all he does is sit there and look at it and go, what in the fuck did I just see? Which is what I did. I was on a federal government job where a safety vest, steel-toed boots, were mandated. And I watched a man in a black long coat wearing hard-soled black shoes, carrying a black briefcase, wearing a fedora. I watched him walk past me 5 feet away. The only thing I can do was look at him and go, who the hell is that? And it took me, I'll bet you, 10 to 15 seconds where I bolted behind him. Now, once I bolted, he had already exited the building and walked through an exterior exit door. But he had 50 feet in any given direction that you can't clear in 10 seconds. To the left was pure mud. To the right was pure mud. Straight ahead was 5 feet of pure mud, then up a hill that goes about 3 feet on a very stark, sharp angle. There was no way he could have got away from me. I know what I watched that day. But if you record an investigator that sees that same thing, the first thing that you will see from him, his jaw drops open, his eyes get big, and he looks at it and goes, what the hell is that? Well, that's not very exciting on general populace. General populace is not going to stare at their TV going, oh, my God, what did he see? And then you have nothing.
So what needs to happen is we need to educate the general populace, the general population, and say, listen, what you see on TV currently is just for TV, and I think that's pretty well known now, although there is still people just getting turned on the way who see it and literally jump to their seats thinking, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing in the world. It's going to happen 24/7, and there's, like, you know, Ghostbusters, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walking down in freaking New York. But I think we need to sit there and actually educate the masses, if you will, and tell them, listen, you know, here's a new idea. It's not a new idea. It's the right idea. Here's the right idea. you know, and this is actually the truth in the history is scarier than the crap you're going to see on TV. And, you know, it may not be full-on entertaining. It might not be in your face, you know, with the scare tactics and this and that, but it's real. And reality is more effective as a tool than anything on TV currently, and as an educational tool, hell, even as a scare tool. If I look up the records of something from the 1800s, and they're talking about someone slitting their throat and just being gruesome.
Children dying of influenza, you know, or starvation on a trail.
You listen to any of that, and that stuff has more power, more grit to it, and it really shocks you to the core. That's what true history is, and to me, that's more, you know, entertaining in a gruesome sort of way, if you want to say, but that's the truth.
But if it doesn't draw listeners and it doesn't sell advertising, it won't air long.
Well, you know what? If it doesn't air long, then so what? Put it out there on a DVD and sell the hell out of it. And who cares if you don't have a big market to do it? Just get it out there, and I guarantee over time it will work.
Amen, Mike. Right. You're right on target.
All right.
Well, 9/11. Let me chime in real quick on this. For the truth of the matter is, every single person that we've had on who has a show, who has had a show, whatever, when the episode airs, 80% of the time they're pissed off about what airs. But due to contract, they can't do anything about it. And I know for a fact, because my family's been in it for over 3 decades, how Hollywood works is this is your red carpet. We're going to get you on TV. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other thing. And, but no, we don't have to because you signed this. And that's the truth of the matter. Is it's not that anybody who's on TV is out there to, like, basically pull the, you know, wool over anybody's eyes or anything like that. It's that's what's in their contract. The production company can air whatever the fuck they want because they are part of the network. And under a certain contract to where you take somebody in the paranormal, just your general role in the paranormal, it's like, hey, we're offering you an opportunity. And I'm going to do the sales pitch for you real quick. We're offering you an opportunity to put your idea, your thought process, everything out there for you. We're behind you. And you know what? Finally, you can get a paycheck. And you can get a paycheck. And you can get a paycheck. And we're going to put it out there, and you're going to get a paycheck. Well, it starts to embed in your head of, hey, I'm going to get my word out there, and I get paid for it. Sure, where do I sign? They glamorize the contract, but then they can turn around and fuck you, which they do of Dennis, again, I know you agree with me on this. 97% of the fucking people that we've...
That's
what they do. They're production companies are heartless people. It doesn't matter what it is. They need their ratings. They need to do their shit. And they use us general people who have a passion for the paranormal to create their shows. And that's why you...
So it also...
Hold on. That's why you don't see shows last as long as they used to when the two staples came out, which is Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters. They don't have staying power anymore because not of the artists involved, because they do test seasons. I talked to pretty much most of the cast of Killer Contact. They're on a test season right now. They have 6 episodes. If they don't test well, they're going away. And every single member of this show that I talk to also are not happy with they're not happy the way the show is airing.
They have
but they
nice
don't have
premise.
Control.
They have a nice premise, but they don't have control.
Exactly.
And I like the premise of Killer Contact. You go to the most notorious location. I like the premise, and you throw out trigger objects, but if you don't have an option on what's aired, if you, well, my dad taught me something when I was very little, and this is a very simple statement. The big print giveth, and the small print taketh away in triplicate. If I promise you the world, I can take away three times that in the small print if you don't bother to read it.
Exactly what I was going to say, Dennis. Exactly.
And
I'm going to put the blame on the production company for being ignorant, for being, you know, deceiving and cunning and witty and smart and everything else on their aspect. But I'm also going to put 99% of the blame on the people behind the show, the cast, because all they have to do is read. And if they don't understand how to read, they can pull out what's called a Webster's Dictionary, which really isn't in print anymore.
It's on phonics,
yes, or, you know, how they can even go the way of, what is it, Dragon Naturally Reading. And they can learn what reading is all about, because the people that say they don't like the way the shows are going, have they read the contracts, or the people that don't like the contracts, just read it. And if you don't like it or you don't understand it, ask someone. Don't just jump in and go into the point of, well, it's a paycheck, it's a paycheck. I sympathize with those that need a paycheck and feel like selling out in order to achieve that goal. One of my heroes in life is Kurt Cobain. Unfortunately, passed at way too early of an age. But he didn't want to become a corporate mechanic. He didn't want to work for the man and didn't want his music to represent something that he wasn't. And because of it, he took his own life. Very unfortunate, sad but true. And that, I'm not advocating suicide, obviously, but I'm using it as an example of saying, listen, if you're not, if it's not what you're about morally, then don't do it, because it makes you look terrible. And then those people that are sitting there complaining about it, well, if they didn't like it and if they didn't read up on it, that's their own damn fault. They have no one to blame but themselves. And if they're doing it just to get a paycheck, well, then that's wrong, because honestly, if you need a paycheck that bad to sell out and to ruin your reputation forever and your morals, go to work for freaking Walmart or McDonald's. At least I'll stand there and I'll applaud you for being a collar worker out there making it happen. And then down the road, maybe start your own thing. I'll applaud you millions of times over than someone standing there trying to scare kids and frankly, uneducated people watching TV who think they know what they're talking about, they have no damn clue. So those wanting a paycheck and thinking the paranormal is the way to make money on it is completely wrong. And if they're acting upset and pissed off because, well, my show's not going the way I want because they changed it up mid-season, well, tough luck. I mean, they chose that route. No one else forced the gun to their head and said, listen, you have to do it or else. They sold out, in my opinion. And it's just wrong, but they have no one to blame but themselves.
But, Michael, here's the deal. If I read a contract, all right, now I'm talking me personally. I'm a very intelligent individual.
Mm-hmm.
I rank in the very high percentile of intellect. If you, all right, let's say you are a production company and you approach me with a contract and you go, hey, listen, Dennis, I really like what you're doing. Here's a contract. I want to shoot 5 episodes. These are just test episodes. That's all I want you to do. Just shoot 5 episodes with us as a test. We'll throw them out there. We'll see what happens. You know, let's run it up the flagpole, see what flies, blah, blah, blah. We'll, you know, throw it on the wall, see what sticks. However they put it. but here's the contract on it. Go ahead and, you know, read through the contract, but here's the basis of it. We'll give you $1,000 an episode. This should be done in 30 days. You know, the rest is all just the, you know, mammy, pamby, cover our ass bullshit. Right. How many people are going to read past the first 5 pages of a, say, 30-page contract?
If they're not going to do the work of reading the contract, they shouldn't be there. And at the same time, though, those that read it and the production company changes it up, they say, listen, to the production company, you came to me. I didn't come to you. So you obviously saw something in me and what I'm doing, so you're going to go with it, or you're going to go and find someone else. But you're not going to have someone that's as dedicated and as moral. And if they care about actually, you know, shedding some honest, real truth, they'll stay with you. But obviously, if they want to go all Hollywood, they're going to go somewhere else. But if the person doesn't want to read past 5 pages, again, that goes to them. That goes to the person. They need to read every single line, every single little dot that's put on that paper. And if they don't, that's their own damn fault. They have no one to blame but themselves.
Well, I have a quick question. And, like, Michael, do you currently have representation?
We do not have a talent agent representing us, if that's what you're implying. If you're talking about a production company, we do have a production company behind us. We do have something in the works that we can't go too in-depth on. But, yes, we do have a company behind us.
That's what I, yeah. Now I understand.
Now you understand what?
No, I'm not trying to be a dick, but if you're working with a production company or a talent agency or anything like that, I mean, Dennis and I being independent, we can pretty much say whatever we want, but in the same respect of...
Oh, well, I'm going to say whatever I want regardless. If the company that's behind us doesn't like what I say, well, in tough luck, they can, you know, they can kiss my ass, because I'm going to be honest and true all the way through. Nothing's ever going to change me. No one's ever going to tell me to change. If they don't like me, they can go the other way. Simple.
Yeah. No, and I'm not talking shit or anything like that. I just... Like I said, it's just one of those things to where, and if you're working with a production company, and have you like perused any sort of contracts, or it's just still in the works?
No, we're about to start filming coming up next month. Actually, all the contracts have gone through. We've had many face to face discussions, and this hasn't been like one-day thing, you know, oh, it just happened the night before. This has actually been a couple of years in the works. So, I mean, it's totally, you know, right on cue. And, you know, me sitting here, there's things I want to see quickly done, you know, but that's just my eagerness kicking in. That's not, you know, hurry up, let's get this out because we have to. No, it's nothing like that. It's just me, you know, oh, my God, you know, our ideas are coming to life, and it's not, we don't have to do this. But we, again, without going too in-depth on this, the idea that's going to be brought forward is going to shock the hell out of people. And Dennis, I guarantee you, Dennis, you're going to stand up with the chicken wing in your mouth, and you're going to applaud the hell out of what you see on the TV, because it's going to be something completely different. I know everyone says it, but honestly, it's something completely different, and it's going to put the whole paranormal community on notice, because, you know, what you see on TV isn't real. What you're going to see is real, and it's going to take people to a whole nother level, not just living, but deceased, and it's going to bring everything into what it should be. Talking about what you don't see on TV, you're going to start seeing. And again, I don't give a damn if the Nelson ratings aren't there. I'll sit there and I'll throw my own money into the mix, and I'll create a million and a half DVDs and I'll sell them. Even if I get $1 a DVD, I don't care. As long as the message is getting out there that what we're putting out is real and honest and true to not only us, but the real human people involved, well, then so be it. Then it's going to happen.
Well, and that's the same shit that I've been talking about this whole time. Is like it really. And I mean, congratulations, and I give you complete kudos. Like I said, I hope we didn't come across as disrespectful or you know, like trying to bash or anything like that. It's just one of those things to where if you
I'll
have
still make him cry like a bitch over chicken wings.
Yeah.
Dennis, we love you, man.
I will never forget that story. So, no, you
know,
oh,
my God, dude. I will.
Hey, you guys are stupid enough to eat that shit.
I will never forget Dennis looking over and telling me, I hate you, man.
No, you didn't get that right. I fucking hate you, dude. And you looking back at me going, fuck you.
And your daughter, I just sneezed chance on my nose.
Wait. Yeah. I think I just blew carrots on my nose. No, honey. I didn't even eat carrots for a week. I think they just left my nose.
That would be a sight.
Oh, my God, dude. You had to have been there.
Dennis, next time I'm going to make you blow carrots out your nose.
Yes, but whenever you're around Dennis, not to get off subject, but whenever you're around Dennis, make sure there's no individuals in the parking lot rolling this for extra tires for free.
Oh, dude, I was so fucking pissed.
And if anyone did it for this vehicle tomorrow, I literally will chase them down and beat them within an inch of their life.
Even the cop, like, backed off from me because I was so pissed. I mean, that's bad. I'm like, you need to, like, you know, call in other units, and you need to put them around this parking lot because there are people out here with a damn knife. Well, sir, we're not sure when they did it. I went, I don't give a rat's ass. Anybody that's rolling around this fucking parking lot right now that doesn't have a car here, right now, you need to investigate them. Sir, you need to...
It's one of those hurry up and wait kind of things. We don't like to work, you know?
Yeah, well, if you notice, once he came out the car, he was a little chubby. I don't think he liked getting out of his car much. And I don't think he liked getting out of his car when I told him he had to.
Yeah, no, probably not.
By the way, I think the only reason we got extra units there was because I went back inside the mall and I told the mall security she had her little radio. Don't make me take your radio away. I think I intimidated her.
Dennis, by the way, if I haven't told you this before, and if Matt and Howard haven't told you this before, you're just fucking badass, and we love you.
No, I'm just fucking nuts. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is on Wednesday Night Radio. I'm nucking futs.
Is it Wednesday night, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good with it. But, yeah, she's like, what are you doing in the mall? Sir, you're not supposed to be in the mall. This is after hours. And I went, yeah, I know. But my friend's vehicle has had his tires slashed. Well, sir, you can't be in the mall. Really? Well, then escort me out, but make damn sure that, well, who is security manager? Well, sir, I am. Well, good, then you can show me where the cameras are and where the DVR system is. Lead me back there. Sir, I can't take you back there. That's a restricted area. Good, because I'm going to talk to you in very restricted language. Where's the fucking camera system?
I thought this was the Wednesday night show.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, so much for that. Ted Howard over there. My ears are bleeding. My ears are bleeding.
I wasn't very polite.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs, yes. Yes, multiple earmuffs.
I prefer if I, never mind. I didn't say that.
You prefer what?
Nothing. Thighs.
Yeah,
nothing.
No, I'm going to bring it
I
out.
I didn't
what?
Say a damn thing. What? Huh? I didn't hear shit. I have no idea.
Oh.
What are you talking about? Howard, are you back yet? Howard, save me. Howard,
no.
Please.
Look at the board, dude.
Yeah.
See the blue?
Oh, yeah, well. Why didn't you unmute him? Howard, welcome back, brother. Are you here to save me?
I'm here.
Please.
Okay, so what's
you know,
up?
There is nothing better than waking up in the morning with pie cream behind your ears, but that's for Monday night show.
What?
Yeah,
I'm saying, what the fuck are you listening to?
I'm going to hell in a handbasket.
No, wait,
I will.
Howard, you came back in, and I heard about this pie cream behind the ears. What the hell's up with that?
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Oh, Wednesday night, sorry. I don't know. What are you talking about, Dennis?
I have no clue, dude. How in the hell would you end up with pie cream behind your ears on a, you know, PG-13 program? That is not possible. Now, on Monday night, when we do Full Spectrum Unleashed, well, never mind. I won't go there.
Hey,
yeah, let
Dennis,
experience it.
Dennis, I have been switching the privacy to public, by the way.
On Wednesday?
On both.
See, that's not good. Because now I just seem like a pervert.
Dennis.
I'm pretty much okay with that.
God?
Pretty much.
Now, hey, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Not to interrupt you there, Lisa and I are going to run for the evening because we got to get up in the early morning and film this TV show, but we will talk to you later, you and your crew. Howard, good luck with your Virginia paranormal unity thing that you're doing, and let us know if you need any help, and as Dennis said, we're behind you guys, you know, we'll stand there for you. We just want you to, you know, be aware of what's going to come your way, unfortunately, the sad reality, but best of luck with it. Let us know if you need anything, we're there, and Dennis, you have fun, and Matt, I don't know what to say other than good luck with Dennis.
Bye, guys.
What the hell?
All right, you guys have a great evening.
Have a good evening.
Right.
Hey,
love
Michael.
You guys. Stay in touch.
Michael, I will say
yes.
This. You owe me a visit, asshole.
You do know we're driving back. We're driving back on tomorrow night, so it's a very possibility, depending on the weather. We do have 2,800 miles to cover in about 4 days.
Yeah. Put on your big girl panties and make part of that 2,800 miles roll through Virginia.
The problem is my big girl panties are stuck in your mouth, so when they come out, then I got to wash them, then I'll put them on, and then I'll let you know.
Also, Michael, on your journey, if you end up coming through Chicago, hit me up and we'll do dinner or something.
We
like
were
that.
Just in Chicago. We were in Chicago on Sunday.
Yeah, for an hour.
See, I'm telling you, Matt, they suck.
And I didn't get a call. If you spend time, hit up Ursula. We can do one of her bus tours and all that shit when you guys come through again.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. You guys take care. Have a good evening. Howard, good luck with these two knuckleheads. Keep it real, and we'll talk to you guys after.
Get some cotton balls for your ears.
Yes, earmuffs for the rest of the show.
Hey, Lisa.
Good
night,
guys.
All right, bye, guys.
Lisa, drag his ass through the RBA.
I'll try.
All right, darling. I love you, man. Y'all are,
all right.
Y'all are fucking phenomenal, man. Thanks for calling in, Michael and Lisa. Don't
love you. You too.
Now, Howard, I have to ask, how much bullshit do you think the DPA is going to go through?
You know what? I say it like this. A couple of years ago, we probably would have gone through a lot of mud. Ooh, do you like that terminology? However, with the change of times, with these groups not putting up with the drama that we've had to in the past, I don't see a high percentage at this time. Not saying we're not going to encounter it. Of course we're going to encounter it. There's going to be people who get pissed off with us or don't like the fact that we're uniting. That's all for the field. I've seen it over and over again. And personally, I ignore it. If you don't ignore ignorance, it's going to keep coming back. So your number, I'll say about maybe 25 to 28%, no more. Because there's going to be too many people that are going, these people are uniting, and these are a larger group, the larger mass. We're going to prevail. It's plain and simple. We're going to do this with or without them. Where are they going to go? They can jump on board, or they can step aside. And I know two groups that may run their mouth. Let them run their mouth. It does not matter. Our clients matter. And our historic sites matter. And those people who are running the historical sites and the states that are running their sites, they're the ones that matter, not anybody else. Negative has no place for what we're doing now. So you can just step back because we're all on a positive train and ain't nothing going to stop us.
I definitely agree. We have, at this point, you know, half a dozen teams that are all joined together, that are all willing to have each other's back, that are all willing to do all of this shit for the right reason. The main thing is it has to be done for the right reason. It's not to gain us notoriety. It's not to get us TV shows. It's to help the client. It's to help the ones that need the help, and it's to join together and band as a team. One man is great. Two men together are phenomenal. 30, 40, 50 is off the charts, and that's what we want. We want to be that. So, you know, that's, if we can be off the charts good in what we do. Howard, if I have an investigation out in Orange County, you got my back?
100%. 100%.
Every member on your team, nothing but gold.
Well, you know, that's another good point. I'm really excited. Hold on one second. I'm really excited about what direction it's going. And we've got a first class coming through, which is the new members. We're getting ready to put them through a six-month course. And that's just to get them up par, making sure they're qualified to investigate with us, not any other team. They're not being qualified as a specific paranormal investigator, but they're being qualified
to investigate with ASP, which is All Seeing Paranormal Society. So I'm confident in every single member of my team that they can go to another team and help provide and give whatever they can to that team to help that team survive or help that team strive for that investigation.
Yeah, I mean, and what is the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate purpose?
For VPA?
Yeah.
Okay. The ultimate goal in VPA is 100% unity among the paranormal field in the state of Virginia to help the client and to take care of all situations that might come up with proper, what's the word I'm looking for? With proper intelligence, you know, education. And it's also to educate the general public of what we're really out to do.
Exactly, but the primary and the ultimate goal is to help the client.
Help the client.
I mean, that was what I got into this for. I mean, I got into it to find my own way and figure out what the hell was on the other side. But then I started realizing how many people actually don't understand what the hell is happening in their own house. Now, if little Johnny can't sleep in his own bed, my job is to help little Johnny sleep in his own bed.
That's, amen.
That's what I want to do, is help little Johnny sleep in his own bed.
Right.
Now, in the course of that, I hope to answer my own questions, and I hope to figure out, you know, exactly what is on the other side. But if I don't do it with this case or that case or any case, if I don't get my answers but I can help little Johnny sleep in his own bed, then I've still done my job. Now, Howard, didn't you used to run ambulance or EMT or something like that?
No, not me. That was Chris Bellassoon with Tri-City Paranormal. I do have a member on my team that is a certified EMT. That is correct. And, in fact, that's also something else I want to bring up, Dennis, while you bring it up, is it's not a bad idea for any member of any paranormal society to take a general first aid class. It's just safe.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Now,
I mean, that's something not brought up a lot, and I think it needs to be brought up more. Because if you're on site, general knowledge of medications, of items, or, you know, if you have a team member get hurt, have a heart attack, a stroke, you know, these things happen, and we have to be ready for it, just like a CSI team.
Well, the other thought that I'm thinking of is if you can get a pharmacist on your team, that would be a huge help. Or, well, as an EMT, I understand what most drugs are for. Having run ambulance for so long, I understand what most meds are for. And it would not be a bad thing to have your team equipped with either an EMT or somebody at least that understands what, you know, XYZ drug is for. If your client is on a antipsychotic drug, there's a potential that they don't really have anything happening in their home. There's a potential that the psychotic drugs or antipsychotic drugs are causing them to see shit, or just their natural person without the antipsychotic drugs are causing them to see shit.
And Dennis, so, what does that mean? What are we doing with that? We're taking care of the client.
Your primary goal is take care of the client.
That's right.
If
don't treat them like that. You know, don't lie to them. Don't disrespect them. Don't disrespect their home. Don't get me started. You know where I'm heading. Let me stop myself right now because you're about to get me on a rant. Just take care of the client.
I'll tell you what. If any fucking member of my team ever says, "Holy crap, dude, I think she's just batshit crazy," guess what? You just bought your one-way ticket off my team.
Yeah.
Even if in the back of my head I'm thinking, "Holy crap, man, I think she's batshit crazy." If you say it in front of the client, you're done, man.
Yep.
You can say it to the team very far away from the client. But
yeah,
that will never be said in front of the client.
Well, let me bring something else up. Because Mike made a good point about trust in teams, inner and outer teams. I'll go on and I'll say this, and I told my team the exact same thing. Due to the entertainment, if you will, in the news, bringing this out last week about a certain action that a quote-unquote hunter group did.
Is this the one that caught the mansion on fire in Kentucky, Tennessee, whatever?
No, yeah, you're close, you go with it, but I can tell you now, and I told my team, and I'll say it over the air, first, my team, if I catch them drinking, if I catch them doing drugs or doing something prior to or on the investigation or on the property, I will personally kick their ass. They will no longer be a part or affiliated with any group that I have anything to do with, and that separation agreement goes into effect, and I will let every group in Virginia know who they are. On two, if I catch, quote-unquote, a ghost hunter or ghost hunter group trying to destroy or tear apart or destruct something that we've been working on for 5 to 6 years, some groups 12 years, I'm going to catch them. I'm going to grab them by their underwear. I'm going to pull it over their damn head. I'm going to call the cops for trespassing. I'm going to tell the client, and then I'm going to make them look bad. They are not. This stuff that these people are doing now is going to stop. And if I catch it, I'm turning them in straight out. I am so overdone with disrespect as far as these other people out there that think they can do what we're doing, and it's just easy. It's not that easy, folks. It's not.
Well, at this point, Howard, I have a minute and a half. I want you to throw out all the plugs that you can in a minute, 30 seconds, and go.
I only have one plug at the present time, and that's Henricus on January 11th. That's Steve's group putting that on. That is Transcend Paranormal. Hallelujah. Great people. Great friends of ours. Great colleagues. We're trying to band this BPA together. You're going to see an outstanding in the next year of BPA, Virginia Paranormal Assembly. We're standing together, and we're moving forward, and we're going to take Virginia to the top. And then we want everybody not behind us, beside us. And on that, thanks, Dennis.
All right. I'm going to throw some extras in there also. We have All-Seeing Paranormal Society, ASPS. Find them on Facebook. Find Howard Odell on Facebook, even if you didn't want to be chucked under the bus. I've got 30 seconds. Catch CPR Matt and CPR Dennis both on Facebook and Twitter. Find us at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on Facebook and the .com. And we have 10 seconds. Matt, go.
Yes, just thank you, everybody. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Lisa, for joining us. Howard, it's always a pleasure, dude. You're welcome anytime that you want. I mean, it's that you're like a brother to me, just the same as everybody else is when it comes to, you know, the paranormal field. So, but yeah, thank you everybody, and catch us on Monday on Full Spectrum Unleashed when who the fuck knows what's gonna happen. We'll see.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
And we may even drop the F-bomb on Monday, because that's Unleashed.
That might be fucking true. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, dude. I'm kind of fucking leery about dropping the F-bomb. Yeah, I mean, especially on Wednesday night, because, I mean, who knows who you're going to fucking offend, man? Come on. Let's be real about it. Now,
yeah.
Howard.
Yeah.
Just so you know, we have another hour that our archive records. But I want to know one thing from you.
Okay.
You've done countless investigations. You've done countless locations. I have sat across the table from you. And I know you have a huge fucking bank of knowledge. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Bank of knowledge. I realize that Monday night is our... Yes. Well, fricking is for Wednesday and fucking is for Monday.
But in I'm getting this right.
Matt, you can't expect me to change overnight, man. Come on.
Dude, no bullshit. I'm not even kidding you right now. My, like, no wind chill. My temperature is showing -3. That's how fucking cold it is here.
No. See, that's not a temperature. -3, that's not a temperature. That's a sign. Look.
Anyway,
zero.
Continue.
I looked out the window. The thermometer said 0. That's not a temperature. That's a sign. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. It's too cold, Mike.
So, anyway. As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by my cohort.
Sorry.
Hey, what's going on, James? Yeah, he went around the corner.
Hey, James.
Hi, James. Welcome. You're on Full Spectrum Radio. James, do you care to join us?
Hey, I'm going to have to put you on mute just a second. I'll be right back.
Apparently not. Now, see, and I was going to ask him a question, and we were starting to ask a question before he got ran over, I guess.
That was literally like 1 second.
Yeah,
like,
I told
you. So, Howard, are you back?
Yes, sir.
Okay. For what, 5 seconds? 30 seconds? What? What do
I
we got, brother?
A minute or two. Yeah, go ahead. Dennis,
right.
I don't know.
No.
I went ahead and took a new job, so I'm not where I was before. So I'm working a 4 to 12 shift, and it gives me a little leeway. So, yeah, I'm able to talk a little bit like I used to.
Okay. Well, my question was, with all of the investigations that you've done, with all of your reading, which, by the way, Matt, I do know he is very well learned. He constantly shoots me links to books that if I could read, dude, I'd have this shit kicked. But, you know, I can't read. Anyway, Howard. With
yes, sir.
All of your learning, with all of your investigations, what is the most jacked up situation you ever found yourself in?
Most jacked up.
And I don't mean paranormal. I mean, like, the most jacked up period. Life encompassed.
Gotcha. Oh, I'm grasping you.
Is that even a word?
Yeah, we'll make it a word. We'll call it the dentist word.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but continue.
I would have to say it was down in West Point, Virginia. It was, I want to say, it was exactly 11 years ago. And we were doing an investigation asked by the client. I cannot relieve the client's name nor the situation because it is bluntly stated that it does not want to be discussed. But as we were coming into West Point, we did take some notice, and some of the people were slightly questioning our motives, if you will. We go down a particular road. Unfortunately, I can't give you that road either. Then everybody will know what's going on. And as we're doing this, we're followed by two vehicles, one van and a white Cavalier. I would say it's probably 89. We turn off into the client's driveway, which is gated off. And as we do that, both cars, vehicles, park off the side of the road about 25, 30 feet from us. And they just sit there with the lights on. Okay. All right. Well, I will let it be known, I do pack once in a while. I pull out and I put it in its holster. And we walk to the gate. And the client came out in his truck to meet us and opened the gate up. We went back inside, and this car stayed there. We stayed there for about 3 hours, gathering evidence and information we could, possibly hoping to catch the experience that others had caught there. Unfortunately not. But as we were leaving, those two same vehicles were still sitting. And when we were leaving West Point, you have to go down the road a bit and take a turn and then take another turn to get back to the main drag. These two damn cars followed us to the point where we took a second right. And at that point, the van tried to run us off the road. Now, that went all the way down to 64. And once we hit the 64 exit, the van kept straight. And we hit the highway, and we headed to the state police station. That was fucked up. That was the worst situation I have ever been in. For no apparent reason, that's the way I felt. But, yeah, if you want to ask, that was it.
So who do you think was in the vehicles?
Matt, I don't even have a clue, brother. Not a clue. There's not a lot of people that know me down in West Point. So it couldn't be one particular person. At that time, there was no group affiliation to anybody. We didn't have a Facebook. We didn't have a web page. We didn't have any of that. To really have no clue why that took place. It really actually bothered the crap out of me. With me and my cohort, Rob, was with me, and Rob was packing, and he had that gun. He goes, man, if they do this one more time, you're stopping this damn car. I was like, oh, yeah. We were dropping some lead. By the time that we got that, we got to 64 and we were gone. State cops took the note, you know, took everything down, what happened, took pictures of the car. That time I was driving the white Escort. And that was pretty much it. We never heard back about it. But I can tell you this, since then, I've never been back to West Point as far as that goes. Because I mean, I don't have the Escort anymore, but why would I want to go back to a place that seems so hostile?
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, if it was a, you know, and I don't see why it would be, but a government agency or, you know, like a, I'd have more fucking answers. I mean, I'd go back there. Hey, they start following me. Yeah, someone's getting a tire shot out. And pull over on the side of the road and be like, what the hell for? Or just make them rear end you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you another. Here, I'm going to give you all a funny one. Dennis, do you mind?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
When I first started getting into this, of course, we all started as ghost hunters, quote unquote. It's true. So myself and two associates, we used to go out to a location, Mechanicsville, and this specific location had well-known activity of Confederate troops sighted, choir singing in this particular location, just mongols of evidence. We went out there one night.
Howard, is this a private residence, or was it a, like, open field public?
It's open field, but I would say not going out there after dusk. We'll put it that way.
Well, you know what that tells me is
right. You
and I have to get out there after dark. Right?
Absolutely. But I got to do it properly this time, and I'm going to finish the story, and I'm going to tell you why. Once it ends the story, you're going to go, okay, that's some funny shit. So so we go out there. We got our equipment, the basics at the time. We go out. And we park. All right, hold on. I got to put you on mute. They're calling me. 1 second, guys. I'm coming, guys.
Good. All right, so as we sit back and wait for this story to finish, ladies and gentlemen, I do want you to understand that we have Howard O'Dell with All Seeing Paranormal, and he is at work right now. Don't tell anybody. But you're also listening to Full Spectrum Radio. And between Matt and myself, we have, Matt, how long do you have doing investigations?
Actual formal investigations or half-assed when I was learning investigations?
Dude, when did you get into it? How many years ago?
Well, that's what I'm saying of actual learning about it and educating myself and doing investigations, or just half-assing walking around doing stupid shit. Because that happened a few decades ago. Well, no, not a few. I'd say...
I mean, we still walk around, like, you know, embarrassing ourselves. I mean, we spend the whole night talking to ourselves in the dark.
Yeah.
So,
I'd say I'm at about 13 years of actual,
like
13 to 14 years is how I actually got into it.
Okay. Howard?
Yes, sir.
Are you back?
I am back for now.
All right.
So here's what happened. We went out there. It was 12:30 when we started. We parked in our usual hunter location. There we go. We're doing readings around this location. Across the street was a Confederate graveyard, cemetery, however you want to call it. A large battlefield to your right as you're looking at the structure, and about a quarter of a mile down the road was another battlefield. So we're taking basics. I'm actually getting responses. I have people following me or entities walking behind me. Can you clearly hear it? We were running multimeters at the time, using the ohm factor, and we were getting good ohm headings, actually really large ohm headings, as a matter of fact. Then we said, okay, well, let's pack up and go on down to the battlefield. Now, this time it was about 1:30, 2 o'clock. Now, to get to this battlefield as a residential road, we go down this road, we park at the end, and we walk out to the field. And Dennis, I've told you about this part. This is where me and Rob and another cohort of ours went out to the middle field, and we saw that purple orb run across the field. said, okay, that was pretty cool. Didn't catch anything else. Came back. As we're walking back, my right ear popped and Rob's ear, left ear popped, and we picked up with the gentleman who was with us and started hauling butt. Said, yeah, we're not supposed to be here. Get in the car. As we're getting in the car, there's blue lights coming down the road. I'm counting these blue lights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I counted 12 blue light cars. I was like, son of a biscuit, are you kidding me? So we get in the car, and I was like, oh, no big deal. We start driving down the road, and we pass them. I'm like, okay, maybe there's something else going on. They do it, you do it, where we just were, and start following us. I'm like, oh, we're so screwed. We pull off. This county cop comes up to the car, turns his flashlight on, looking at all of us, looking through the car, and asks him, yes, sir, is there something I can help you with? He goes, what are y'all doing out here? I was like, I had to think quick. I was like, oh, we're Civil War buffs. Yeah. He goes, okay. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, yeah, sir, this is kind of the prime time for us to look at, so we're not bothered. And all the other guys are going, oh, my God, dude, shut up. Can't help it. The other guy, officer, quote-unquote, if you will, that walked up beside him, was giving us the nasty, I'm going to kick your ass look. Then he's telling this dude, are you really believing you guys? What the hell? Blah, blah, blah. They walk to the back of the car. As we're sitting there, Rob is beside me, and Rob goes, we are so screwed. I'm like, dude, let's just tell him we're, you know, we're all bucks, blah, blah, blah. Walks back up, and the one car is just smiling. He's looking down. He's looking at our equipment. I'm like, oh, damn. And he goes, so you're all out here for Civil War at 2 o'clock in the morning? I was like, yeah, we're just buffs checking the fields out. He's like, yeah, it's probably not a good thing that you do that around here at this time of night. And he's laughing the whole time. And I'm like, this is so fucking embarrassing. It's like, okay. You know, he goes, next time y'all decide to go out, and he looked at me and put his fingers up and quote, relic hunting, you might want to call the police station first to let them know you're going to be out here. And you can go back up to the other location if you wish, but I think it's time for y'all to leave this area. Well, okay, that's fine. Don't worry. We're out of here. So we get in the car, go down the road, and we're going back to our central location where there's 5 other police cars sitting in the parking lot. I looked at Rob. Rob looked at me and said, if you stop, I will personally kick your fucking ass. I said, yep. They're going to get us for trespassing. Let's just keep on getting it. That, to me, was just a hilarious one.
Yeah, well, one thing I found out, I'm giving you the name of the quote-unquote trending location that I go to. Every time I go there, because it's supposed to be no lights or anything in the middle of the night, I always call the local PD, and
yeah.
I tell them that we're here on, well, I lied to them one time, and I said, I'm here on a plumbing repair. The reason that I do that, I called them the first time, and I went, we're coming out on a paranormal investigation, and the dispatcher went, you doing what? I'm like, well, we're here on a paranormal investigation. He goes, you mean you're out there for, like, hunting ghosts or something? Said, yes, sir. And he goes, no, I've got permission to do this. Yes, sir. Oh, whatever. And hung up on me.
Hey, John, okay. I know I sent you a message, and Howard, I got to skate. I got to call one of my
coming up.
One of my clients. So you guys can continue, but yeah,
Matt's got to bug out. He has a client that apparently has an emergency situation. So, Howard, it's me and you for however long until we decide to close out the program. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for hosting and being with us. Go take care of her.
You're welcome that I join you. What the fuck's up with that?
It's a habit. Okay, I didn't even think about it.
I had to give you shit about that one. So, Dennis, love you. Howard, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, I got to see what's up with her, so.
See, now you just did what I did. It's a habit. Thank you so much for
Dennis,
joining us.
I love you. Howard, thank you. I didn't say Dennis and Howard, thank you. I said, Dennis, I love you. Howard, thank you. That was separated.
I love you too, big boy.
I will disappoint you all around.
Yeah. As long as it's all around, I'm good with it.
We room together. So.
But, ladies and gentlemen, Matt has to leave us. He has a clan to take care of. But,
And Matt, I just want to note that it is 10:22, and this will probably be a 2 a.m. phone call, so this is just what we do.
I expect it. But, ladies and gentlemen, Matt's going to go take care of a client. Matt, hang up now. You're welcome to leave. And you are stuck with CPR Dennis, and we have Howard O'Dell online with us from All Seeing Paranormal. And I think it's been a pretty good conversation so far.
Yes, and I know it's in good hands. So good night, everybody. I will talk to you, or you will listen to me, not talk to you. You will listen to me on Monday. And Dennis.
No, probably
Howard.
We hope for you to talk to us on Monday.
Yes.
Call us in at 580. Well, I don't remember that one now. I'm too old, man. I can't remember phone numbers. This sucks, dude. Here's the jacked up part. I can remember my phone number from when I was in elementary school, but I can't remember the damn phone number on this thing. 580-323-5703.
There you go.
See, I got this shit. Like a boss. Like a boss. Matt.
All right, brother. I will talk to you soon. I will talk to you probably tomorrow.
So take care of client. Client comes first. Radio later. Love you too, brother.
All right, good night. Bye.
All right.